What a wonderful day. It's a good day to be alive, isn't it? It's great to see all your lovely faces and to be able to express our joy to the Lord in this wonderful way. I just feel that I need to bring a few words about the atrocity that happened on Friday before I've come to my word. We know, thank you very much, Andrew, we know that this is a day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice because we rejoice that we have a God who is above and over all things and he's given us this day. But we cannot deny the things that happen in our world, and Friday was a big shock to us all. And like many of you, I feel and have felt so sad and wept for those who have lost loved ones. And we found out early this morning that the little three-month-old baby passed away and went to glory. And I do know that there was a message I saw that the medical staff were pretty broken because they'd worked very hard to save that child's life, but it was in God's hands as each one. I feel so thankful for all of the Melburnians that came to the aid and of complete strangers and even risked their own lives to bring comfort and strength and help to them at that terrible time. I'm also so thankful for the paramedics, for the AMBOs and the doctors and the nurses and the people that spent hours on end, and many of them would have worked over their shifts to be able to help sustain and to care for those people. I feel very thankful for the police who day by day put themselves at risk and in harm's way. They've always faced with tough and difficult situations, but none would have been tougher than last Friday. At a time like this, it's very easy for us to get into the flesh and start to look for someone to blame. But there's only one person that can be held responsible for all of this, and we must remember that. But that person too is a human being, and as much and all as it's hard for us to grasp, he is a soul for whom Christ died. A very confused man, a very tormented man. But we know that evil enters in, and we saw evil personified on Friday. But my heart has been crying out for him, that God would touch him, because if he comes out of his state of mental torment and realises what he's done, what he's got to live with. But we leave all of that in God's hands. We are not defined by the actions of one man, but by the actions of many humans who have shown great courage and beautiful compassion and love in this time. We don't get to choose when tragedy comes into our lives. We only get to choose how we deal with it. And I know that there are some of you here that were in the city on Friday that saw, some from a distance, some closer up. And I know that there have been quite a few people from our church and friends of mine who have contacted me that were there. And one of my friends who used to attend our church years ago when it was Westvale Christian Family Church rang me and said that her son, who had gone through a difficult period over the last few years and has come back to God in a very powerful way, was there and heard the car coming behind him, and he cried out to God and he jumped out of the way in time and fell, but he said to his mother that he was assured that if it had been hit, he was with the Lord. And that's the wonderful confidence that we can have, that we need to know that we are with him every moment, and pray for those who knew the Lord or know the Lord, but pray more for those who didn't and don't. So let's care for those who need us so much right now and look after them. We need to be very conscious, as I said, of how we stand in God every moment, because we don't know what a moment will bring. There's a saying and there's a song, what a difference a day makes. Well, what a difference a minute makes. And we saw that played out on Friday very, very largely. The people were walking around enjoying themselves and boom, it happened. And we don't, as I said, have any control over what happens, but we have control about the way we deal with it. And so the only way to deal with it is before the throne of grace. We need to hug our loved ones. We need to forgive. We need to love. But we need to be available to those. And I know there are those who are praying that they will be made available to people. And not only those that were caught up in it, but there are many people who are very angry and who want vengeance. And we need to be able to bring grace and peace to that. 1 Peter 1:3-6 sums it up, and it says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade." Isn't that awesome? Never. We need to hold on to that. "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, but always hope." And again, that's from 1 Peter 1:3-6, a beautiful scripture. Now, God laid on my heart the message that I was bringing today. And when this happened on Friday, I thought, oh, Lord. And the Lord just kept bringing me back. And while we are now into the fourth Sunday of the new year, it's still the new year. And the title of my message is Receiving What God Has For You in 2017. But hope is essential. Hope is essential. And, you know, we think about the new year. We think about the new day. We all have calendars. We all have these calendars with the big squares with the numbers in them, and we look and we turn it over and there's 30, 31 days or 29 in February. And we look at this clear calendar and we're very busy filling it in with all the dates and things, but we never know what will happen in those dates. We do not know what's ahead of us. And you see, we get all caught up, and we know the world gets caught up in the new, in the new, in the new, because when people are insecure and full of fear, they're always looking for something new to fill their lives. But we have all there is. We have Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that our hope is not in the new year or the new day, but in the one who makes all things new. And so when you look at your calendar, we need to look at the days as God's days. We need to look at them as God's precious gift to us and to live them. And to know that if we walk with God, we will always reach our destination. There is nothing but nobody. And as much and all as we are grieved about the things that happen in life, we have to know there is nothing but nothing that happens outside of the will of God. And your life and mine are hidden in Christ. And so God knows the beginning and the end, the completeness. And that's what this friend of mine's son felt at that moment. And yes, he was bruised from the jumping out of the way, but he knew that it wasn't his time, but he knew that if he'd been taken, where he would be. We need to be never swayed by what we see or what we feel. We need to stand firm in the power and the experience that has been developed and strengthened and deepened within us. When we remain unswayed to God's word, we will go stronger with on every front. But if we start to be caught up with the things we see and feel, and not only with things like Friday, but we can become irritated about little things. I know that I've exactly the same. There are times that I've felt irritated about things that are out of my control, and I've just had to surrender that to God. Regardless of whether you feel justified or not, we're not justified in the irritation. We're justified in having an opinion, but not allowing it to turn us away from where God wants to take us, and knowing that all things work in his time. And as my husband quoted, all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and know that you're called according to his will and purpose, then everything will work. We need to learn to enjoy every moment of our lives and be happy. Don't wait for something outside of yourself to make you happy, because it'll never happen. When we look for those things, they always disappoint us. They always disappoint us. Think how really precious is the time that you have right now, that you have to spend, whether it's at work, whether it's with friends, whatever it's doing, even if it's in the difficult times. Enjoy it. Every moment should be enjoyed and savoured. You know, nothing in comparison to Friday, but I know that, like all of us, I was looking forward to January because it was going to be our break time. And I came down, thankfully, saw through Christmas, had a wonderful Christmas, and our granddaughter and her husband came for a week, and just before they went back, I came down with something and was laid aside for 2 weeks. And when it first happened, I was just so sick I didn't think. But then after that, I thought, oh, Lord, I was so looking forward to this time, and here I am in bed and couldn't do anything. And then the Lord came to me and he said, Pat, I'm with you even here. Look for me in this and see the beauty of my holiness even in this. Because I'm the restorer, I'm the keeper, I'm the giver of the health. I'm the one who's going to help you to breathe and overcome. And so I started to rejoice. And as I rejoiced, I won't say that I felt like jumping very quickly, but something inside of me started to bring new life. New life, that's what's new. A new life that is given to us and promised to us every morning. Tears may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning. We need to be looking for that joy. We need to be looking for that sustaining power each day. And so I thank God that he raised me up. Like others, I know Carmen. And also, as my husband prayed, we need to think of Gadgen and Jerome this morning. They've come down with gastro, and so they're not here today. And others who have not been well or are not well. But you see, nothing can be stolen from us. God keeps that hidden in our hearts. Hope is not a luxury. It's an essential. Hope can change tragedy to opportunity, dreaded work to exciting, worthwhile efforts, and weariness to invincibility. You know, I see my husband with the building, and he's so excited. He's so invested into that because it's his gift to God. And there are others that have been there to help him. Lewis and Andrew and Shannon have been so faithful. And to see it grow. And one of my irritants was the building, because it was getting near Christmas and it was still taking so much of John's time. But then as I laid it down and saw the joy that was in him and the joy that this building is going to bring to so many children and young people and others that we're going to bring in, it's such a precious thing. And it's grown, it seems to have taken time, but when I look at it, I went in there yesterday and it's all there ready, just about taking shape. And it's just wonderful. And so I've seen God take that weariness and bring it to invincibility in my husband. I've seen that strength come upon him and that joy that only God can bring in the face. And so it even is with tragedy that God can bring a peace and a hope. Hope is for all of us, not just for the glass half full people. Hope is for all of us to grab hold of. It's a hope that cannot be denied. It's a hope that cannot be quenched when it's in God. It's not about wishing or positive thinking. It's a sure expectation that God will do what he's promised. And the word is full of promises. The word is full of fear nots. The word is that I've come to give you life and life in abundance. There is nothing that can snuff that out. The thing is, we have a choice whether we believe it or whether we don't. And belief is not just a reading something and saying, oh yeah, that's all right. It's a deep conviction in here. It's a deep conviction of the Spirit. And if we have that, there is nothing but nothing that can quench it. Nothing that can quench it. I often think about hope as being like floaties. You know, when you put your children in a pool, and I was seeing Ezekiel, I had the little floaties or the little band that goes around them, and they're in the water and that holds them up and paddles them, and they're secure in that until they learn to be able to swim. Well, hope is like that. Hope is there to keep us floating until we're ready to stand, until we're ready to be able to take hold of whatever it is. Sometimes it's like we're confident and other times we're paddling like crazy. Have you ever met somebody who just looks so confident on the outside and inside you see they're just paddling like a duck because they're paddling till they get that confidence? Well, hope is like that. Hope enables us to continue to swim to shore. What are you in the middle of hoping for? We're all hoping for something. And we have to understand that in God it's not a vain hope. You know, we hear the word hope. Oh, look, I hope you have a good day. I hope things work out okay. I hope you have a baby girl or a baby boy. That's not what the word's talking about. This is a sure hope of a commitment from our God. A commitment that Jesus Christ was so purpose to, that he gave his life, that we would have this hope, is an expectancy that we will see what we hope for. Maybe you've been deeply affected by last Friday, and of course you have been. But those things we cannot allow to get us depressed and bring us full of fear. The Word of God is here to counteract and take fear away. We are not to fear. We're to stand in confidence. Maybe you've lost your job, or your marriage is in difficulty, under strain, or you can't seem to break that addiction, whatever it is. And there are people that are addicted to many things today. We can be addicted to television. We can be addicted to swearing, addicted to smoking, addicted to eating, addicted to whatever. And we've all got to stand in God each day that we overcome whatever those weaknesses are in him, give it to him and allow his strength to sustain us. Or your child may be struggling in school, and that's a concern for many parents, and they want to be able to help them. But you see, it's at the throne of grace and it's asking for God's wisdom. You may feel stuck in a dead-end job. Or you wonder if that secret dream that's in your heart will ever come to pass. How is hope possible in this situation? There's a story about Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, 19 to 24. Lamentations 3, 19 to 24. And Jeremiah had gone through a very, very difficult time. And he says, I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I will call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, I am not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. That is awesome. And so what Jeremiah is saying, he remembers, and it's not wrong, we can't help it, but remember certain things. But it's what we see as overcoming that. And his overcoming was, yes, I remember. And sometimes God allows us to remember, to know how difficult it was, but then to see how great he is, that he brought us through. And Jeremiah still had to face many things, but he knew that his hope was in the Lord, and that God would bring to him a newness every morning, but a newness not of incidents and things, but a new portion of himself. That God is fresh to us every morning. It says in the Word, if you seek for me with all your heart, I will be found of you. But we need to seek after him. We need to gather him. We need to go to him. You know, sometimes it can be that, I know John can be busy and I want to talk to him, and he'll say, you know, I'm busy, so I'll follow him around and, follow him wherever he's going. And then when he sort of completed it, but you see, and that's human. We can all do that. But God's not like that. The minute I say his name, he's there. He's there right in my face. He's there right there with me. He's there ready to hear what I say. He's ready to hear my heart and feel my heart. Sometimes the bravest thing you can do is just to keep hoping, to keep that hope, keep that grip on that hope, just like these floaties. Hold on. Sometimes it takes two hands. Sometimes it takes everything we've got to hold on to that hope. But I assure you, you will not be disappointed. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. And we know, and as I said, we look at the calendar and we plan sometimes for a day. We plan that we're going, Gadgen's plan was to be here and lead this morning. And suddenly, you know, it doesn't matter what you've got written on the calendar, there's change. But it's how you deal. And you know, God is just as present with Gadgen at home as he is here. And so we need to be aware of that. We need that God is Emmanuel, God with us at all times. Even though we don't exactly know what's going to happen in the coming year, in the coming days, because as I said, my year didn't start out as I planned. The people on Friday, their day didn't end as they planned. But we know that we have this hope. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that he is with us. And when we think about preparing ourselves, the first thing we need to do is to let go of baggage, to release our grip on the unwanted things. If we want this hope, we've got to let go. We've got to let go and let God. You know, we often carry baggage. We often need to go before the throne of grace and go, God, search my heart and show me the unwanted things, as David said. Reveal them to me that I might release them. If you don't, it's not God's problem, it's yours. It's not somebody else's problem, it's yours. We have a choice to let it go. They can bring weights of bitterness upon us, resentment and unforgiveness. And we can't afford to be unforgiving. It doesn't matter who it is, what they've done. Let it go. Let it go. We don't like it, God, I don't like it, but I forgive them. And it's only then that we're going to be able to love unconditionally. We'll love unconditionally, and then we'll be replenished with this hope and this joy as we do that. There are things that your soul cannot afford to keep around for another second, not another day. And the next thing is that we shouldn't pick up new things. As I said before, we shouldn't be hoping in things that are not there. We hope in God. And of course, it's normal to plan, but don't get caught up in your planning. Don't live things before they happen. Don't get overexcited about it. If we start planning too much, we're picking up another baggage. We're picking up another thing that's going to weigh us down because we try to make things happen the way we want them to happen. And then we're going to be disappointed because they never do. We need to live each day moment by moment because this, my friend, is the only moment we have. This is the only moment we're assured of. I am totally present in this moment because this is the moment that I live. If we can live our life like that and know this is it, and rejoice in it, be glad in it, see God in it, and see the opportunities that God has given us in that moment, then we can trust our tomorrows and everything else to him. With our hands free to receive all that God has for us, we need to be vessels that are available, vessels of honour, set apart for a special purpose that God has for each one of us. God has a special purpose for each one of you. And while we're caught up in the calendar, while we're caught up in all these things we want to do, we're denying God to fulfill that purpose in us. Look for what God is showing you this day. Be available. You know, even on Friday and at other times, sometimes things come along. Somebody else said to me that they were really frustrated because they were in the city and they were on their way to the mall, to Myers, and something unexpected came up and it really frustrated them because it was like out of their thinking. But they praised God because that very thing kept them away. They came and saw the carnage, but they weren't involved in it. And we just don't know. Often things come and we become frustrated, but God has put it there for a purpose. Not only on Friday, can be many things that we see in our lives that we need to be thankful for. But we need to be vessels of honour. We need to be available every day, not just for occasional use, but here I am, Lord, send me. What is it that you want me to do? We need to be able to set ourselves aside for whatever comes our way. The potter who formed you knows best your use and what he created you for. We need to be dependent people, people that depend on him but are also dependable. We need to be assured that we're totally set apart for him. We need to be grateful people. We need to be praising people in all situations. Rejoice in the Lord always and give thanks to him. We need to live in an atmosphere of thankfulness. And we need to be confident, not confident in this flesh, but confident of the one who abides in me, confident in his purpose, in his power, in his promises. Do you know the Lord knows your name? And that just grabs me every day, especially if I start to get frustrated. And then it's like the Spirit comes in and says, Pat, I know you. I know all about you. I know this ability you have to get frustrated, but I'm here to help you overcome that. Just give it to me and the frustration goes. God knows my name. And it says in Isaiah 43:1, doesn't it? But now thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. That's the scripture that was read the night that I was saved. And at that moment, I thought I would never forget that. But there are times I do lose sight of it, and God needs to bring me back and remind me. And as I look back on my life, I didn't fully understand that scripture, but I see that it's been played out. And the following verses after that, about walking through the fire and not being burned, and walking through the water and not being consumed. And there have been many fires and many waters, not literally. But God has taken me through, and not just taken me through, but brought me out stronger. At times when I just felt it was all over, but God has brought me through. You're no stranger to the Lord. God knows every detail of your life, past, present and future. And we need to know that and feel that confidence. He understands where you're coming from. He knows your intentions and your motivations, and he knows your deepest desires. And if your desires are part of his will, there is nothing but nothing that will stop them. You will reach every potential. You will reach every goal. You will find every fulfillment that God has for you. And God's not a dull and a dreary God. When we sing about him, he's full of life. He's full of joy. When we look at the beauty all around us in creation, how could we doubt that this God is a creative God who loves colour, he loves expression, he loves joy, he loves singing, he loves dancing, he loves rejoicing. That's the God that is within us, and that's the life that God wants to stir within us, that we express those things, that we express him in everything that we do. And yes, he is a God of consolation. He's a God that draws close to those that suffer. He's a God who mourns and weeps with those that weep, as he rejoices with those who rejoice. He's a God that can reach down to that broken part of your heart, that disappointed part, whatever it is, as I said before, he can touch it. When I affirm what God has said about me in here, I'm not trying to make it happen. And you know, so many people, even Christians I've heard say, oh, you've got to be careful. You can't just, you know, who am I to grab that? Well, I'm a created child of God, and he says that it's mine. So I'm not trying to make it happen by faith. No, what I'm doing is faith declaring what is already mine. That's the difference. What the word says, I declare and I claim. No question. And out of my mouth will come that testimony. And as it comes out of my mouth, the Spirit is released to make it happen. I'm not trying to twist God's arm. I'm assuring myself that what God has promised is already mine. It's already a reality. That's what faith is. If God has said it, believe it. Act on it. Know it. Allow it to take birth in here, so that it stays and the Spirit will continue to renew that to you. A man that we all probably know, Pastor Rob Bailey, wrote the other day, and I thought I'd bring it because it really struck me. And he said, when I'm driving behind a car with one of those little signs in the back window that says baby on board, I wonder to myself, why am I being reminded about the baby? Shouldn't a sign hang in the front of the window to remind the driver of their precious cargo? Think about it for a minute. And so it's simple for the believer, and it's similar for the believer. We need to remind ourselves that we have a dynamic, powerful cargo on board. It is Christ, the hope of glory. So whatever situation we are in, we need to know that we have this hope of glory within us. And so hope is so very powerful. Hope is the thing that keeps us alive and keeps us going. In Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this hope is only born in us by the Spirit. And if we are not in touch with the Holy Spirit, we'll struggle with hope. We might try to motivate ourselves, we might try to mind think, but this is not a thing of the mind. But when it really comes, it is the most powerful, it cannot be extinguished, it cannot be put out, no matter what, this hope. A Christian's definition of hope is far superior to that of the world. Instead of wishing or hoping for something to happen, a believer knows their hope is solid. It's concrete evidence because it is grounded in the Word of God, and we know that God cannot lie. The Christian has the hope, that is, the assurance of all things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. That's what hope is. It's stepping up a ladder with only one rung visible. It's not only faith, it's hope, to know that the next step there'll be a rung waiting for you to put your foot on. Faith cannot be moved by circumstances or what the eye sees, because the unseen God is there in his faithfulness. And I just want to read to finish that Paul gives us the best example of hope in Romans 8:24-25. Romans 8:24-25. Paul tells the believer, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. It's a wishing, not a hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for him for it with patience. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, how sure is that hope?" Do you believe that God is on your side? Of course, the Word of God tells us. Why would he send his Son to die if it were not true? He died, but he rose. He rose. And you see, when we think about the disciples and how hopeless they felt, they would have felt as desolate as anybody, because their friend, the one in whom they relied on, had died. But some of them had hope in the promise that he had given them. But even so, they were surprised when they saw the reality of it. We now have so much evidence from the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We should not be surprised. I say it, I'm amazed at the things that God... Why should we be amazed? We should be expectant that God is able and will do. And so as we go through the dark of the night, where deep doubts and fears flare up, but extinguishing those fears is as simple as saying that the Bible says that all I've hoped for is in him. Staying faithful to the Word of God day by day and to that hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is true, that your word will not be overcome by anything, and that, Lord, we will not be dismayed as we trust in your word. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that it's not my words but yours, and that, Father, we might be stirred, Father, to look differently at things, even from this day. That, yes, Lord, we know that you have put out this day and spread it like a carpet for us, but that we will have the hope, Lord, in you, and not the expectancy of the things that we want to plan for and see. But that we, Lord God, would be lost in your love and the provision of your word and the faithfulness of your word, that we will know that your steadfast love never fails, your mercies never end, for they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness to us, O Lord. And so, Father, if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling, and I believe there is, Father, I pray that they might cry out from the depths of their heart to you. That, Lord, we welcome you to come for prayer. But it's as you open your heart to the Lord that he will reach in and touch whatever it is, whatever the pain is. And sometimes the disappointments of this world And sometimes our own disappointments become so much that they overcome, and we feel even that we just have had enough, we can't go on. But you see, the Lord has laid out a path for you, and he has a purpose for your life, and he wants you to fulfill that. And he wants you to know not only the hope, but the joy that comes with that hope. Because Jesus went to the cross, and God said he went for the joy that was set before him. And you were that joy. You were the fulfillment of the Father's will, that Jesus was ready to lay his life down in obedience that his Father's will might be fulfilled. You are that joy. Know that and be filled with that wonderful expression of love and life, that you are the joy of the Father's heart, and that he will continue to pour that sustainable hope within you that will keep you from falling no matter what. So, Father, we just lay it all before you now, and I thank you and praise you that you will take your word, not mine, and you will minister it by your Spirit into the hearts of each one of us, Lord, that we might grow into the fullness of your glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.